Our reading this morning is written in 1 Thessalonians from chapter 2, verse 17, to chapter 3, verse 5, and is to be found on page 1187 in the Church Bible. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 17. But, brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So, when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labours might have been in vain. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know about you, but when I first read this passage, I thought, oh my goodness, what on earth is God wanting us to take from these verses? On first reading, it's a part of the letter where Paul is apologising for not being able to visit the Thessalonians, and that's why he sent Timothy to encourage and support them, because he was worried that they had turned away from God because of persecution. So this could be a very short sermon. If you want to do something but can't, arrange for someone else to do it for you. And if someone is struggling in their faith, encourage and support them. End of. But of course, there is much more richness in this passage than we will see on first reading. If you've been coming to the Walking with Others course on a Sunday evening, I hope you'll see some of the links to what Ollie has been saying about the needy helping the needy and how we need to care for each other, walking alongside each other here in St. Pat's and beyond. Because as I spent time dwelling in this passage, the main theme that struck me is that it's about caring for others. Do you ever say the phrase, I couldn't care less? Perhaps in response to being asked if you know a particular football score, or someone wants to talk to you about something you have no interest in, or that doesn't really impact on you. On the other hand, what do you care about? What do you care so much about that you want to protect it at all costs? It might be your children, your siblings, other family members that you would drop everything to help. Perhaps you care passionately about a cause or a charity that you volunteer to help with, something you put your time and energy into. You want to help no matter what it costs you, whether it's your time, money, skills, or all three. What we see as we continue through Paul's letter to the Thessalonians is a running theme of how much he cares about these new Christians. He couldn't care more, and shows it through his emotional language. He wants them to know how deeply he cares for them, and how painful he feels this enforced separation. This theme runs through the whole of chapter 3, But today we're just going up to verse 5. But what we will see is that as Christians, we shouldn't be characterized by the phrase, I couldn't care less, but the opposite, I couldn't care more. That we want to help no matter what it costs us. And as a result of caring and the actions we take, we will see we can have a positive impact on those around us and bring God glory. So just a quick reminder of the context of this letter. In Acts 17, we read about Paul's visit to Thessalonica and how trouble was stirred up so much that he had to run away quickly before the baying mob attacked him. In this part of the letter, we see that Paul's concern for the Thessalonians, that they might misinterpret his early departure and prolonged absence and the inability of Paul and Silas and Timothy to return as a lack of genuine pastoral care, especially as the Thessalonians were facing persecution from the authorities amongst others. If we look ahead to the start of chapter 3, we see that whilst Paul couldn't travel, he did the next best thing. He sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage the Thessalonians in their faith, even though it meant that Paul had to be left alone in Athens. Paul was in need, but he knew the Thessalonians needed help more, and so he sent Timothy to be with them and help them at a time when they were facing persecution for their belief. It was following Timothy's return to Paul that he wrote this letter to encourage the Thessalonians in their faith and respond to some of the issues that Timothy had reported back. So let's dive into our passage. Paul shares his heart to let these people know how much he cares for them and how he would be back and be with them at a moment's notice if he could. He starts by saying, "But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you." It's an interesting choice of word, isn't it, orphaned? The Greek literally means bereft or bereaved. Paul feels like he has lost a loved one in being separated from these Christians. This wasn't a planned or happy separation. He was distressed by the fact that he couldn't get back to them. Paul assures the Thessalonians that although they were out of sight, they were certainly not out of mind or heart. He uses emotional language to reassure the Thessalonians. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. He wanted to remind them that they tried to get to see them, that he feels real pain at this separation. It was much more than just a physical separation. It was also a spiritual one. Paul cannot stress enough to the Thessalonians how much he longed to be with them, how he couldn't care more for them. Throughout this letter, Paul uses lots of family references. There's lots of brothers and sisters, but there's references to parental love and teaching for these young Christians. Here, Paul uses brothers and sisters to remind them of their real relationship with each other and with God. That when we become Christians, we become brothers and sisters in Christ. We become part of God's family. It's why we talk about our St. Pat's family. And as a family, we should want to get together often. We may not see family members very often, and today it's much easier to keep in touch with phone calls, emails, text messages, FaceTime. We know what is going on in our families, and we feel connected, even if we don't physically see each other very often. But it was very different when Paul wrote this letter. There was none of that. There were letters like this, or seeing each other in person. So Paul was reminding that these early Christians, that when they faced persecution, they weren't on their own. They were part of God's family. I know there are usually difficult members in the family whom maybe we'd rather not interact with. Families aren't perfect, and some families do break down. But as part of God's family, we should love and care for each other, help and support each other, especially when one of the family is facing struggles or hard times. But Paul goes on to caution us. He says, "For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan blocked our way." The Greek translation of blocked our way means broke up the road and put obstacles in our way. This wasn't just a little thing that was stopping them. Now, we don't know exactly what happened to prevent Paul from travelling, but it is a warning to us, to us all, that this is not, it's not easy being a Christian, that Satan is there to cause trouble. Now, for us, it might not be anything big. In fact, I think it's often the little things, those things that chip away at our relationship with God without us even realising. An excuse not to come to church on a Sunday, not to on our quiet time, too busy to help an event or to serve in church some other way. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that occasionally missing church or not saying yes to every request in church is bad. But if that becomes more often than not, and more importantly, gets in the way of our relationship with God, that's when we need to become a little concerned and reflect on whether we need to change. But it's more than that. If we are Christians who couldn't care more, we need to keep an eye out for each other. If we notice someone hasn't been around for a few weeks, perhaps reach out to check they're okay. Let them know you care, that they're not on their own and we miss them. If you struggle to find time to read the Bible every day, think about using study notes. Or even better, get someone to read with you. I think I've said before, Rachel and I have been accountable partners for more than 15 years now. Every day we read the same passage and then we text each other with a thought or a question. I know if I didn't have Rachel, I probably wouldn't do my reading. It'd be too easy to skip a day and then another. And before I know it, I haven't picked up my Bible from one Sunday to the next. Having someone who cares and will challenge me if I don't do my reading is a good thing. It keeps me close to my Christian sister, but even more, it keeps me close to God. Like a wolf preying on a flock of sheep, Satan knows that it's easier to pick off the sheep that's not staying with the flock. If he can keep us from being together, being close to God, we're more vulnerable to his temptations and those that come at us from the world around us. When we're together, we can be spiritually encouraged and strengthened. We can talk with each other about any challenges we're facing and pray together. We can walk together and support each other. As we've discovered in the Walking with Others course, we're all needy. We all have times when we're struggling. And I don't know about you, but doesn't it make a difference to know others are struggling too? That person you thought had their life sorted actually hasn't? And whilst they may have a different problem to you, they are needy too. Together we can support and encourage each other, particularly when times are hard. Paul goes on to remind the Thessalonians that their perseverance in their faith will ultimately be worth it. For in verses 19 and 20 in chapter 2, it says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." Paul wants these new Christians there when Jesus comes again. He doesn't want them to turn away from God and their faith. He encourages them, reminding them that this is a race. The word crown refers to a wreath or garland that is awarded to the victors in a sporting competition. And the Greek word for glory is boasting. Paul is saying that when Jesus comes again, he will boast in God's victory. That is our hope and joy. Paul does not boast about himself, but about the people in Thessalonica who have come to Christ because of their ministry amongst them. On the last day, when Paul stands there with the Christians he has introduced to Christ, that will be a joyful day. Paul reminds the Thessalonians that far from him not caring about them, he couldn't have cared more for them, because he will boast of them on Judgment Day. That's a challenge for us. What will you boast about on Judgment Day? Will you, like Paul, boast of the investment you made in people's lives? The people that you may have brought to Jesus, the people whose lives and character were touched, moulded and matured because you were in their lives, walking alongside them, caring for them. Neither Paul nor the Thessalonians could boast in their own spiritual achievements. Everything was due to God's grace alone, perfectly shown when Jesus died on the cross for us, as Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians, in chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." I love the last verse of "Yet not I, but through Christ in me," which says, "To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me." But what does this mean for us today? Well, what Paul is reminding us is that if we truly care for one another, we will want to be with one another, worshipping together, learning together, growing together, supporting, helping, and caring for each other, so that in the day of Christ, we have reason to glory, because we did not labor in vain. We will stand together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul then turns to show us what will happen when we care for one another. We will strengthen and encourage each other spiritually when we are together. Chapter 3 starts, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith." Acts 17 doesn't include all of the details, but we learn that Paul first went to Athens alone, while Silas and Timothy remained in Berea. They joined him in Athens as soon as they could. But Paul's worry, wondering how the Thessalonians were doing, led him to send Timothy back to them. And around the same time, Silas went somewhere else in Macedonia, leaving Paul on his own for several months until Timothy and Silas were able to rejoin him in Corinth. The act of sending Timothy to Thessalonica was sacrificial, demonstrating Paul's deep pastoral love as it left him alone in Athens. He describes Timothy as our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ. This would reassure the Thessalonians that Timothy was a faithful Christian and would mitigate any potential negative feelings or grumpiness they might have had about Paul sending this junior associate instead of coming himself. But it also reminds us that God uses old people to accomplish his eternal purpose in the lives of others. Whilst it was painful for Paul to send Timothy on this mission because it left him alone, he did it because he was more concerned for the spiritual well-being of the Thessalonians than he was for his own comfort. In the same way, showing genuine care for one another means putting others' needs ahead of our own. Christian love is willing to sacrifice to help others, both physically and spiritually. The purpose of Timothy's mission was to strengthen the Thessalonians amid their persecution. Paul explains that suffering hardship is an inevitable part of the Christian faith, and acknowledges that the Thessalonians were taken aback by their relentless persecution that they were facing. But he wants them to focus on trusting God in the midst of trials and not lose faith. Verses 3 to 5 say, "So that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as well you know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labours might have been in vain." I don't know about you, but this reads as if Paul is a bit frustrated. There's a bit of "I told you so" about these verses. A bit of, "Well, we told you right from the start that life wouldn't be easy, that you'd face persecution and hardship. It really shouldn't be a surprise to you." But even in that, you can see Paul's frustration and reprimand comes from a place of care. He was worried that these new Christians would turn from God and look elsewhere for their help in times of trouble. No one said being a Christian would be easy, that once you put your faith in Jesus, life would be a bed of roses with no hardships or challenges, that everything will go the way we want it to be. We see here that Paul didn't teach these new believers that miraculous healing, a lifetime of happiness or financial success were their right. No, he taught them as Christians, we are destined to face challenges and hardship. Jesus himself told the disciples that they would face trials. In John chapter 15, verse 20, he said, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." He goes on in John 16, verse 33 to say, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I find this verse such an encouragement. When times are hard and a challenge, it reminds us that we can have peace in Jesus, that ultimately we know all will be well because Jesus has overcome the world. Paul also warns of the tempter, that is Satan, who seeks to lead believers astray. Paul fears that if Satan had succeeded in tempting the Thessalonians away from their faith, the missionaries' efforts would have been in vain. Trials will come to test us as a genuineness of our faith. The parable of the sower, Jesus said that the seed sown on the rocky soil received the word immediately with joy, but they had no roots. So when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, they will immediately fall away. When we face hardship or challenging times, that is when we risk drifting away from God. But those are the times when we should look to our Christian brothers and sisters for encouragement and support. Those people who will walk alongside us, showing us care, praying for us, reminding us God is with us in those dark times. For those of us who've been Christians for many years, you already know this. And I'm sure we all have examples of how we have trusted God when times are hard and seen other Christian brothers and sisters do the same. But if you are a new Christian or not yet a Christian, don't let the thought of having to face difficulties put you off taking that step of faith. Trusting in God when times are hard does bring a sense of peace. It might not stop those human traits of worrying or being upset, or even questioning God. But it doesn't mean that you know God is with you in those dark times and he will not abandon you. Knowing that and knowing that God sent his own son to face persecution and to die on the cross for us should mean that we know all will be well in the end. Paul's worry for the Thessalonians was his godly concern for this new church. It was the concern of a spiritual parent for his children in the faith. But what does that mean for us? Paul is role modelling the godly care that we should all feel for one another. We should want to get to know each other and spend time with each other. And when we do that, we'll want to care more for each other. So as we reflect on Paul's words to the Thessalonians, let's remember this. The Christian life is not meant to be lived in isolation. We are called into a family, a community where we care deeply for one another, where we don't say, "I couldn't care less," but we do say, "I couldn't care more." Paul's example challenges us to be people who notice when others are struggling, who reach out, who encourage, who walk alongside each other, even when it costs us something. Because that's what Christian love looks like. That's what being part of God's family looks like. So I'm going to leave you with a couple of challenges. After church this morning, can I encourage you maybe to have a chat with someone you either don't know, you've never spoken to before, or who you don't know very well, over tea and coffee in the atrium? Perhaps chat about the challenges that Paul gives us in this passage. And then this week, just reflect on who is God calling you to care for this week. Maybe it's someone you haven't seen in church for a while. Maybe it's someone going through a hard time. Maybe it's someone sitting near you right now. Let us be a church, a family where no one walks alone. Let us be a church that reflects the heart of Paul, and more importantly, the heart of Christ, who gave up everything for us, even his life. And as we do, may we find joy in the journey, strength in our struggles, and hope in the one who walks with us always. Amen.